Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hey there, welcome to the catch up. Marto's away today.
Yeah, so well,
that, that long weekend wasn't long enough for him.
Cats away.
10 days.
Dobbo sat in the cranky chair.
He did. We found out how much he loves an urn. He loves cabbage. He mentioned that pretty much every break.
Yeah.
How much he loves is money.
Yeah. Is there something about that seat that just makes people fire up?
I'm not sitting in it.
The old cranky seat, the hot seat.
The hot seat. We found out that he has real estate in weird places.
Miles. The only person to have real estate in Miles, it would seem. Oh, 3 houses. If you want one, they're going pretty cheap, I hear, as well.
But he did bring his contact book, which meant we got to chat to Kevin Walters.
Yes, will Daily Cherry Evans captain the Maroons? We asked him and he tried to knock that back with a straight bat. But I reckon we read between the lines, so that's on the way.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Sorry, go.
Do you reckon he will?
I had trouble knowing who D whatever.
You had to ask what DCE was.
I know.
You thought it was something they awarded some military or something like that, some sort of medal.
Sorry.
It wasn't. It's a human.
It must make him look so good that the Broncos are doing badly.
Oh, yeah. He loves it.
His stock's gone right up.
Right up. Brisbane Roar have a new coach and he's not a nuffie, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're speculating he's having some relationships with Australian women. That's where we got to.
Yes, indeed. We've speculated a lot of things and men increasingly having plastic surgery. We had a very interesting man who has had plastic surgery. For a very good reason.
Yeah, for good reason. And he told us all about his pec implants.
And his nipple rip.
Pec implants, but then calf implants. Those are the other one. And what was the other one? The other big one?
Chin. Getting your chin.
Yeah.
It's got to stand
out. That story, actually, did you know that story about that guy getting calf implants? He actually works in our company.
He does not.
He does, yeah.
You didn't say that.
No, because I wasn't sure. But that's just for the podcast people. So, I mean, you can go search Southern Cross
Hold
on. Stereo. And
he's not on air, though.
Is that why Marto's not here? Is he recovering with his...
Marto's
recovering. Stitches up the back of his legs.
I don't want to do leg day anymore.
He's sick of riding the bike in, but he wants to keep the calves.
Oh, dear.
Enjoy the catch-up.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Well, all of Queensland is really concerned at the moment as their three sides, not struggling as such, but below expectations.
Badly.
Kevin Walters, the Queensland Origin coach and former Broncos great and part of the Fox Sports coverage. Good morning, mate. How are you?
Good, Dobbo. How are you going, mate? It's Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. I'm just getting back into the swing. Mate, well, should we be worried? I mean, the Titans are the number one Queensland side, and they're 11th at the moment, and then obviously the Cowboys and our beloved Broncos sit at 1 win, 5 losses.
Nah, we shouldn't be worried, mate. Oh, look, I thought it was terrific effort from the Titans on the weekend. They were outstanding in their performance, weren't they? They were just red hot against the Knights. The Broncos, look, they were in the game for most of it against the Raiders. I just feel like the Broncos need to fix their defence up more than anything else. And I don't think they're too far away from getting a win. And once they get one win, I think they can string 2 and 3 and 4 together.
That brings up my question. I think you should not only be the coach at the Broncos, but you should also be the captain and the 5'8". Thoughts? Is that a bit too much?
Oh, that's probably a bit much at this stage, given I'm 75 years of age. Look, they're working hard, the Broncos. They've just got a few internal things that they've got to sort out. And, you know, I'm sure they can bounce back. It's just a matter of when that comes. I mean, they've got Cronulla this week at Suncorp on Saturday night, I think that game is. So that'll be a big one for them, one they can win and one that they should win. So I think they'll just get focused on that. And once they get one, I think they can string a couple together, I would have thought.
Kevy, are you just saying that because State of Origin is just around the corner and it could look really bad?
Well, no. Yeah, look, I'm not concerned at all about Origin, to be honest with you, Rob. I think, you know, our players, some of them whilst are struggling a little bit as such in their clubs, some of them are playing some great footy.
Sure.
You know, we saw on the weekend DCE and Ben Hunt going at it, and also Josh McGuire was outstanding for the Cowboys, running for over 200 metres and 30-something tackles. He was probably the best player on the field. So there's some good things happening, you know, outside of the NRL-based clubs in Queensland, that's for sure.
Kevy, everybody's talking, it's in the papers today, that Ben Hunt's going to be the number 9 and DCE's going to be your 7
Hang
and
on,
your captain.
DCE, talk
Daily
for the...
Cherry Evans.
Thank you.
Daily Cherry Evans will be your number 7 and captain. Have you selected the side?
No, that's what you've been tossing up all the time, Dobbo.
Well, am I right?
You're finally getting it to print. Look, that's okay, though. Look, what's been keep happening with those guys. They're playing some good footy. And really, you know, we're going to find, if they continue on the pathway that they are, all those boys, well, they'll find a spot in the team somewhere. I think that's the mentality that we need to have is, you know, pick those players that are playing extremely well and find a position for them. So, you know, I thought game three of last year's series was probably our best. In fact, it was our best performance. And in that game, we had Andrew McCulloch starting at hooker, and Ben Hunt came into the side after, you know, he was number 14. He came on and played that role through the middle for us. So, you know, I'm not sure how it's going to end up, but whilst they're playing the football that they are, they'll continue to get selected in various positions.
Kevy, that fence that I helped you build, get off it. Is Daly Cherry Evans going to be the captain of Queensland?
Well, that fence that you helped me build has now fallen over, Dobbo, so I can't even sit on it, mate.
That'll do us.
DCE, you know, I mean, he's an obvious choice. Michael Morgan would be another one that comes into the frame of things. And Jake Friend, I believe, is playing this week in the Anzac Day game against the Dragons, Roosters against the Dragons on Thursday. So they're the three.
No, he's not going to be one of them, Kevy. Come on. Seriously, well, it's either Morgan or DCE. And after the way Daly Cherry Evans spoke to the referee and how eloquent he was, he's got to get the Queensland job.
Sorry, Dubbo, I didn't know you were the coach of the Maroons.
Yeah, wow, look at
and
you.
Selector.
Yeah. And okay. I'm a supporter of Queensland as well, Kevy.
No, you're not, Dubbo. You're underneath that shirt, you've got a blue one.
Kevy, are you like the most boring human during the season? Do you watch every single game and then just talk about it?
Well, if I don't watch it live, I like to watch it throughout the week at some stage, Rob. Yeah, I mean, you've got to, particularly up to Origin, it's nice to know how our players are faring and what they're doing. And this year I've sort of opened up the communication channels a little bit more as well with our players. So, yeah, I'm very confident about this year's series and particularly enthralled by what some of our players have been doing to date. It's really exciting.
All right, we love you, Kevy. Maroons coach Kevin Walters joins us. Thanks to Toyota Material Handling. Get world-renowned Toyota reliability forklifts you can trust. ToyotaMaterialHandling.com.au. Big breakfast, Triple M. It's up at 27 and partly cloudy. Nick Cody.
I'm watching a bit of footy over the weekend. It comes to the ads. I always love ads. They're generally, you know, when the footy's on, you've got gambling, food, Bunnings, right? And the Bunnings ones are the best because it's just staff members at Bunnings rambling on. But this one really caught my attention. I honestly think this Bunnings employee is very close to just absolutely snapping. Hear this.
It's a beautiful day outside, the sun shining, got the radio going, you've got your power tools going, stop that drop saw, hang on, what was that, a goal or a point? No, hang on, oh, it's a goal, okay. What better way to spend a Saturday? Lowest prices are just the beginning. That's our policy.
What just happened to him?
He is just rambling. I don't think he wants to do whatever he was doing with the tools on the Saturday, right? I've got a feeling at his house, his missus is like, please fix the fence. You know, the boys broke it. And he's like, babe, the footy's on. I just want to watch it. She's like, get out on the tools. And he's like, what's that, goal or a point? Goal. Oh, back to it. What a better way to spend a Saturday. He is losing his mind. I hope someone checks on him.
He's being forced. He's being forced to work.
Yeah, I don't... How's that anyone's great idea of spending a Saturday is to just catch highlights of a game through a power tool sound?
Yeah, but it's relatable because how many of you blokes have been forced at various times in your lives when there's been a game that you wanted to watch and you've got a list of jobs and you've got to... Okay,
you just
prioritise. No, like yesterday afternoon, a prime example, Kylie said, do you want to clean the chook pen out? We've got license. I said, no, West Tigers versus... Parramatta are playing, the chook pen still got lice in it.
You know, but you were actually working, weren't you?
No, I was watching on the couch.
That should be one of the ads. The chook pen still got lice in it. I want to watch the footy. Bunnings Warehouse.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Gee, George Clooney's got a lot to answer for, and I'm not just saying his billion-dollar tequila company or his great movies. Apparently, he is the bloke that plastic surgeons are claiming are making men... get plastic surgery. A lot of men, well, there's been a dramatic increase. 5 years ago, it was between 2 and 5% of blokes would go to a plastic surgeon asking for treatment. That has jumped from that number to between 20 and 40% now.
Like, what are we talking? Because, I mean, potentially, I've had lap band surgery years ago, so that could, is that classified as plastic surgery as such?
Okay, well, let's know. Not in this particular study. We're talking about cosmetically enhancing your external features.
I wanted my tummy to shrink.
Okay, have you had skin removed?
No, but if I did, I'd definitely get it done.
What do you mean if you did?
Well, if it actually worked, if lap band surgery actually worked and I got skin fold, okay, so then I'd actually
can
have it.
Work, Dobbo, but it again, that's yeah, another well, conversation.
Yeah, anyway,
Dobbo beat it. That's what I like to think of it as. He destroyed
Dobbo
it.
Won.
Not holding me back. Yeah. I dare.
Okay, back to the plastic surgery. The most common procedures are chin, like blokes who don't have chins.
What?
Yeah. So creating a chin or calf muscle implants.
Yeah. I don't need that.
Oh, that is.
Me
I don't need that. I've got big calves.
Me too. I've okay. got big calves as
they
well.
Are two of the saddest things I've ever heard. Calf muscle implant. That is sad.
I really would struggle to find or even know a bloke that's had plastic surgery to try and enhance their beauty as such. Mm. Like, I mean, in
okay,
all sense.
No. Come on, to be fair, they're not going to be telling you at the pub, hey, mate, want to see my calf implants?
Yeah, but you know what? I can understand if you had a broken nose and it was smashed across your face and, you know what, you wanted to get it straightened and neatened up. Yep. I get that, like from a footy injury.
Has any of them ever had it? Have the Broncos? Any of the Broncos?
There's been heaps of blokes who have had their noses straightened once their football careers are over. Like
oh, really?
Heaps of, yeah, heaps
name
of
names.
Them. Oh, well, just I can tell you that Cooper Cronk, who's got a smash nose at the moment, has said as soon as his footy days are done,
he's going to get it straightened.
Just get it straightened. Yeah. And
no, these are just for cosmetic procedures. So this is just to make him look a little bit better. And there's photos. They were in Sunday's paper. There was also showing them. I'm just curious. I mean,
the
it's
chin
now
one is such a giveaway, though.
Why? If you've got that, like, that connected skin
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, no, if you look no, like
from
what's
drinking
that
rum
kids
and
TV show.
That's from drinking rum and coke.
Oh, the bookworm.
The bookworm.
From the
if you've
book
got
place.
Bookworm head, yeah, get yourself a chin. Or just get, you know, but you know when there's people that grow a beard, but you know full well that's just to say, hey, this is where my face ends.
Yeah. Is that you, Nick Cody?
No, I've got a strong jawline.
A real strong chin.
What about you, Brett? I'm just asking the only blokes who have beards in our studio.
I had laser surgery on my skin.
Oh, that would count.
Well, I had horrific.
What for?
Well, I had very bad acne as a kid.
Right.
And then I didn't want a Phantom of the Opera and just stay indoors all
no,
day and get
enough.
Good at the organ.
Yeah. Good at the organ.
And just so I just thought, yeah, just get it done. And it's been great. It's been wonderful.
Okay. Male plastic surgery. Would you, could you, have you? 133353. You can be anonymous if that makes it easier
no,
for you.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
Name yourself and own up. If you've got it, do it and tell us about
well,
it.
Well, you've said you would.
Yeah, hell
so
yeah.
So that's a start.
Hell yeah,
okay.
100%. I think if it, whatever rows your boat, if you want to feel good about yourself and you want to get it done, get it done.
Michael of Maruka.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good. Have you had plastic surgery?
Yes, I have.
What was it?
I had pec implants put in my chest.
Good
basically,
spot for
I had a tumour when I was younger,
yep.
which left mm-hmm. a massive dent in my chest.
Yep.
And basically, the only way they could fix it was by putting pec implants in and doing a full chest reconstruction and filling the hole with liposuction fat out of my stomach.
Wow.
Oh,
how
wow.
long did that procedure take?
That procedure took a couple of hours. Then something went wrong and I actually had to fly back to Sydney because I used Australia's best plastic surgeon.
Yep.
And, I got a $30,000 bill out of that one.
Whoa.
So, but to be honest, I take my shirt off and always look like Superman.
Yeah, but and that's the thing. I mean, do you feel, it's all about how you feel and it must make you feel very confident and what... Obviously, you didn't feel confident after you had that first procedure from the tumour. Now, you feel like a rock star.
I do, pretty much, yes, because I had a massive dent in my chest. Mm. And as you were talking about pierced nipples, I actually have that nipple on that side pierced with a gold piercing through it. So it would take the...
sight away from your chest.
The sight from the dent in my chest, yes.
Wow.
So worth the money, worth the $30,000 and all the pain and everything that went with it?
To tell you the truth, absolutely not worth the pain. 8 months it took me to recover because they literally cut your muscles away from your chest and they stuff them underneath your muscles.
Oh,
but you don't have to do chest day again, do you?
He's got a six pack.
Yeah.
He's got a washboard.
Yeah. Are you still rocking that nipple ring, Michael?
sure am.
Yeah, nice, yeah. Brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice, brother.
You wouldn't get rid of that. $200. All thanks to Barista Brothers. A seriously good story needs a seriously good Barista Brothers iced coffee. It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
The Big Breakfast.
Anything is possible.
With Marto, Robin and Nick Cody.
So Dobbo, who's filling in for Marto, we often talk pets because here at Triple M, our people love talking about their animals. But I heard a very different story over the weekend. And at this point, Nick Cody, we should say that a story that you did on your dog got how many hits on the internet?
3 million.
Ugh. How do you do that?
My Melbourne Comedy Festival gala clip got up to, it's 3 million in
of Yumi the Staffy.
Of Yumi. Just talking about Staffies. As I say, I had no idea so many bloody Staffy owners were online.
Oh, yeah. Staffies are one of those kind of breeds.
They're a special breed, like their owners.
Mostly we talk about lovely things to do with our pets. But I heard a story over Easter that I thought was really interesting. And it was about a couple who have broken up over the dog. So what happened was they came together. They're both in their late 40s. They came together. He brought the dog into the relationship and he was an old fella anyway. I think like 8 or 9 years old, this dog. Anyway, the couple were together for about 2 years and the dog just kept getting really sick.
Yeah.
And at one point the bloke said, "That's it. I'm not going to spend any more money. I'm not going to do this. Let's put the dog down." And the woman in the relationship got so upset that she said, "No, I'm going to keep the dog and get rid of you." And so it's actually broken the relationship up because she was not willing to euthanize the dog.
So a pet has broken up a relationship.
Absolutely. And I actually think it's probably more common than we give it credit for, because I think that there are some people particularly where, you know, they see their fur babies, and that if, you know, you come into a relationship and someone has a fur baby and you're not accommodating of that.
Do you reckon that guy has dodged a bullet there? By breaking up with that person?
No, because she's my friend and he wasn't.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting...
I just mean at least one of them's out of their misery, you know?
Well, the dog... I mean, and look, to be fair, the dog has cost her about $25,000.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, and I think if it's a finance... I think there's probably more to it than that. But when I met KG... She has a Great Dane, or did have a Great Dane, Buck, and that was her best friend and still is to this day. She says her best mate was Buck. Unfortunately, he passed away a couple of weeks ago and we've had him cremated. But can I just talk about the fact that there were some times in our relationship where...
You slept in the doghouse and Buck was inside on the bench.
Buck had way more. He had way more rights in the house than I ever have had.
Why?
Well, because it was
her best mate.
Clearly, it was said, and he was here before you. And
he'll be here longer.
And he'll be longer. Yeah.
so this dog that had more rights than you around the house just passed away a few weeks ago. No more questions.
Well, no, it was a very sad time, to be honest with you. But look, I mean, I can understand it, like. From sometimes their pets, people's pets are closer than their partner, closer than that. So if old mate, your friend, she might be a bit cuckoo to be doing that. But
no.
I mean, you know, like, the bloke's obviously got some issues.
Well, I'm going to call her Katie, but Katie and her dog,
What sort of dog is it?
There we go.
What happens when the dog dies in a couple of weeks? What happens when the dog dies in a couple of weeks? She's got no dog and no boyfriend.
Well, I think then she's probably...
$25,000 down.
Yeah. Okay, I'm interested. Has a pet ever broken up a relationship? What happened? When did that... It'll probably be a dog. I can't imagine a chicken coming in the... Or a guinea pig.
Or a cat.
Or a snake. Snake might.
A reptile. Got in the way of your relationship.
If it's a snake, de facto, guaranteed.
133353. Has a pet ever broken up a relationship, and what happened, Angela of Mount Tambourine?
It's not so much that he's broken up a relationship at all, but I do have a dog that I've spent quite a bit of money on keeping alive. He's a golden labrador. He's 12 years old now, so he is getting on. But I've known him longer than anybody in my household. He was a gift from my first husband who passed away. He was my first Christmas present from my first husband who passed away. Mm. So he's pretty much a golden labrador, and he's had absolute fortune spent on him keeping alive from doing absolutely stupid things.
Give us a figure, Angela. Like, put a figure on it.
It would be up in the 20,000.
Wow.
What kind of things have you done for it?
So he had surgery because he's a lab and he's anything. He had a corn cob, that was suspended in his bowel, so that was major surgery to get that out. When we moved into our property in Tambourine, we had some rat bait that we didn't know about left in the garage, and my other golden labrador got into that, and she got extremely ill. And we took it to the vet, and, you know, plasma infusions, everything. We spent about $7,000 trying to keep her alive. And she ended up having a bleed into her spine, and she couldn't move, so we ended up having to put her down. When we got home from doing that, Cody, my labrador, then vomited blood absolutely everywhere as soon as we got home from that, so we knew he'd gone into it too.
Oh, my God.
So it was rushing him off to the vet as well, and another $7,000 later, keeping him alive with plasma infusions and blood transfusions and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, between, like, a few incidences like that and just eating stupid things like labradors do, he's racked up quite a bill.
I'll tell you what pets everybody's got to look into. I used to have pet budgies, right?
Yeah.
And my pet budgie got really sick, and they were going to $1,500 to try and fix a pet budgie stomach, or to put it down, 80 cents.
Is that how much the Green Dream costs for a budgie?
The Big Breakfast. Christmas Triple M. We're all about to start menageries. Triple M's Big Breakfast. Marto, Robin, and Nick Cody. Dubbo in for Marto.
I guess 10 days off wasn't enough for Marto. Good on him, though. Speedy recovery champ. I want to know.
You're just saying what we're all thinking. Yeah. Keep going, Nick.
Over the weekend, I missed my son's first Easter. Now, I want to know if I've done the wrong thing or not. It was the last weekend of Melbourne Comedy Festival. It's been going for a month. My wife knows that I've been working super early in the morning, then during the day on stuff, and then gigs at night. She said, we want you to enjoy the last weekend. You can go out for some beers. I'm going to take him away for the weekend. And I thought, hold on, I don't want to miss his first Easter. And she said, he won't remember.
That's very understanding of her, because normally the firsts are the really big deal. True. And then after that, no one cares until they start to remember. So if anyone says to you, what about the second birthday? I promise you they won't remember it, and it doesn't matter. But the firsts of everything, first birthday, first Easter, first Christmas. So your wife is very understanding.
Yeah.
I'm impressed by Luke.
Because
that's
I would
good.
Be the other way. I am like, I don't want to miss Ella Daisy. I've got a six-month-old. I don't want to miss any first, because I did, Nick, miss with my other two kids because I was working at that time, miss it all. So I'm a little bit over the top. So Sunday morning Easter was a big deal for me. And
what did you do with the six-month-old?
Well, that's exactly right. It was a big deal for me, but I don't really think Ella got the whole gist of what it was.
Were you the guy at the cot waiting for her to wake
up? She was wanting, she just wanted one thing. She wanted one thing and that's it, you know, like was boob. That's all she wanted. You know?
She doesn't. And
hot milk.
You could have.
Did you paint a cross on it so at least it looked like the bun? Pretend.
No,
I didn't. But I get what you're saying. She's a very understanding wife, yours, Nick. Very understanding.
Yeah. I gave my kid a bit of yesterday when they got home. I gave him a bit of fruitless hot cross bun. Yeah. And he shook his head in disapproval. Even a 7-month-old
didn't like
knows
it.
How much of a terrible idea that is.
Yeah.
Fruitless hot cross bun. That's a bread roll.
Yeah.
Your family are all over it, Nick. I'd stick with them. Got a good one.
Oh, I want to. It depends if they want to stick with me.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Okay, let's just go around the table and see who is capable of towing anything. I am not a great tower. I have done it in the past when we used to own a camper trailer. I did tow it. I wasn't very good at parking it. I have taken a load to the dump and managed to successfully put the trailer into the dump area, but I'm not a very good person at towing. Dobbo, I'm sure you can tow.
Horse floats, tinnies, box trailers, all of the above.
Right?
Yeah, road trains, can do it all.
Road trains. Nick Cody.
It sounds like you've got a towing business. You reel that off so quickly. Dobbo's towing. Well, I just got my driver's license 7 months ago, so no.
Okay, not a tower. Brendo?
I'm barely capable of driving, to be honest. I can't drive a manual, can't tow anything.
So, interestingly enough, we should have a cross-section of opinions on this, because I saw two things over the Easter break that, and both times it didn't sit well with me, but I don't know the answer. So I live in Fig Tree Pocket, which is really near the Horsey area. There's a big Queensland equestrian centre there. And over big breaks and weekends, there are lots of horse floats going in and out. Well, leaving the equestrian centre yesterday was an L-plate driver towing a horse float.
See, I have a real issue with that.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, why?
Okay, because, I mean, you're a danger anyway when you're an L-plater.
Yeah.
And then to pull a horse float, you know, seriously, I mean, on a public holiday, which is a Monday.
Where there's not that many cars around.
Well, you know, that's in your area. I don't think it matters. I think there should be designated times when L-players can pull. No, in fact, no L-plater pulls a horse float.
But how do you learn?
Learn it when you're on your piece.
More dangerous because at least with, and this is where I got to yesterday. So my middle son has got 60 hours up. He's going for his P's in the next couple of months. And I get nervous driving with him. But if you've got a big, fat, screaming L on the back of a horse float, people are going to give you a wide berth. If you've got a P, they're less cautious.
Mm. Well, not anymore. They're all of the same, I think.
What do you mean?
I think the P platers and L platers, they're all the same. They all can't drive.
Well,
so you just got to give them space. Like, and I'm being serious about this. Like, it is a real, it's really, a horse float alone, because horses have obviously weight and it shifts around.
Yeah.
Horse floats, I don't want to get too technical, they move around a lot, very dangerous to tow. I would never be letting an inexperienced driver drive a horse float.
Okay, so coming up from the Gold Coast yesterday afternoon, we spent 4 days on the Goldie. As we were coming in from the Southport entrance onto the freeway, there is an L-plater towing a caravan.
Oh, wow.
Well,
so that again seems, it does seem like a bit much. Like it should be one of those you go to a new estate, you know, where the roads have been laid out, but there's no houses yet.
Yeah.
And you can have a drive around with the little caravan and the horse trailer.
Yeah,
you practice there.
Ipswich Motorway out at Willowbank is a racetrack, and it is free for most times of the year. Anybody that wants to get there to tow a caravan,
can
you head out there,
do
get
you?
Out on the... No, but no, that's what I'm saying. I'm coming
you
up with this brown one. Yeah. And a horse float alone. So one day's horse floats, one day's box trailers, one day's caravans. And they rotate them and you go around there. And if you can get through the chicane at Willowbank, well, then you know what? You pass. You can go out on the Ipswich motorway and away you go.
Maybe they had graduated from Willowbank. Were they any good?
Well, in both situations, I mean, I was so sort of scared of thinking, oh, my Lord, get me away from these cars. But I did think that at least there was a responsible adult beside them instructing them as they towed with their big fat L plates on. I'm curious.
I reckon if you really want to test them, you let them tow a meth van, because that way there's going to be a lot of chemicals. If they nudge it, it could blow up.
Do you think it's okay for an L-plater to tow? We won't keep it to caravans or floats. It can be anything.
You haven't seen it down at the water, have you?
No.
People trying, like an L-plater trying to tow.
No,
like
a boat.
Like put a boat into the water. That would cause, I think, an actual fist fight.
Yeah.
I think the parents would be pulled out of the car and beaten up.
I kind of feel like on one level they need to learn. But should they be learning on Easter Monday when there's a million cars on the road?
When it has an effect on other people, and which towing something does, and if you're an L-plater and you're inexperienced, it's dangerous. They shouldn't be on the road.
1-3-3-5-3. Selena of Fernvale, what do you reckon?
I reckon that L-platers and P-platers should just learn to driving. In the last year, I've had 2 major accidents because of them, so I think they should just really just concentrate on driving on the road and not trying to hit people.
What happened, Selena, with the accidents?
Just a learner driver decided to change lanes, and there was a really big truck in the road and then hit the side of me and nearly killed me and my 4 children.
Oh,
my Lord.
And I'm still suffering. And then I had one about 6 weeks ago, another P-plater on the other side of the road ran me.
Just not concentrating. Man.
No, yeah, apparently I braked. And I'm like, that's because there was traffic slowing down. Funny that.
Oh, dear. Well, you are someone with first-hand experience. It's hard to argue with you, Selena, really. Are you okay now?
I've got injuries that'll last me for life, but, you know, I'm alive, so, you know, that's your plus side. And I now have a 15-year-old daughter who I've got to teach to drive, which I feel sorry for everyone else on the road.
Don't ram. First lesson.
Yeah.
Thanks, Selena. And Russell of the Gabba, what do you reckon about L-platers towing stuff?
Well, I actually went the hard way about it. I had a learner with me. We got pulled over by the police. We were towing a trailer. Police let us off with a warning. So I had to take over driving.
So it's illegal?
It's illegal.
Because
an L-plater is not supposed to be towing.
Well, there you go.
Well, see, it's interesting, though, because in New South Wales it says categorically no, but looking at the mypolice.qld.gov.au, it says they can tow, but they have to have a visible L plate on all of the vehicles involved. But you're saying you got busted.
Yeah, that's right. The police officer, and he said he was a traffic cop, said, no, you should not have him towing.
Okay, fair call. Can't argue with you.
I think it's a safe thing to say that old mate with the horse float and the caravan weren't doing the right thing.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jumbo.
I wish I'd been there. But saying that,
what would you have done?
Well,
yelled.
I did learn how to drive when I was nine. So, I mean,
what's that?
Yeah, I had my first drive of a car when I was nine.
Not on the road.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now all your credibility. No.
Well,
has
I'm just saying, like, you know, there's rules for some people who can drive and rules for
others
that
can't. Back?
That yes, was, like, that was out west. Yeah.
Yeah. There was not. Okay. Righto. Shane of Logan. What do you reckon about L platers towing?
I think you should be allowed to. I think you should be made to do it.
Made to?
Don't you think it's a little bit dangerous, though, in peak hour on a public holiday on the M1? Maybe pulling a caravan might be a little bit irresponsible for a learner?
No, look, absolutely, a caravan. My old man said, come on. I was 17. Admittedly, he was a traffic cop. So I did have a slightly better
chance of not getting booked.
But he did use the old-fashioned method of teaching. It was a great big book full of pictures. I didn't get to read it. If I made a mistake, he hit me over the head with it while I was driving.
Yeah.
So,
that always works.
Yeah. He said, come on, let's go. And it was a public holiday. I still remember. He said, come on, let's go. And we jumped in. We're Logan Bogans. What can I say? It was a Kingswood with an 8x5 tandem trailer. And we drove all the way down to Southport, loaded up with building material and drove home.
And did you...
It was a good grounding to teach me.
Was he constantly telling you what to do and, you know, teaching you in the process?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm. There wasn't 5 seconds that went past when he wasn't saying do this or move this or, you know, straighten up or hands at 10 and 2 or... But it stood me in good stead.
Yeah, or beating you over the head with a book. Shane still has a concussion.
The cops are coming faster.
The big breakfast.
Speed up.
Triple M.
You've not been having a fun time this morning. What's been going on? Tell everyone what's been happening.
I don't know if I've made the wrong error here, and I probably wasn't the most studious student in the world, but I've got two kids that are highly intelligent, who are very good at school, and everybody has just finished school holiday. So school starts back today.
Yeah.
Now, my kids go to private schools out at Ipswich, great schools, but I have to work hard to pay the fees because they are not cheap. So I got a phone call over the weekend saying, I'm divorced. My kids are with their mother. They were out at her parents. Hey, listen, would you mind if the kids stayed out, went mustering over the course of this week because it's a three-day week.
Yeah, there's Anzac Day in the middle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I put the shutters up. I said, I was initially said yes. I thought about it more and more. I thought, no, listen, school holidays are school holidays. They get enough. I went and added, what happened was I went and added up all the school holidays that the kids get. They actually get more school holidays than they do, attending school.
Okay, but you can't take that one on because that's just how
it is. At private schools, that's the way it is.
I know,
okay,
it is.
Not at the state school system. So they're lucky enough, they go to a private school. So I said, no, you can come back to school and school starts. When you have school holidays, that's when you go mustering and that's when you have your fun. And when school starts, you come back to school. Well, I'm the worst father in the world. I am officially the most crap dad there ever is, and I actually am standing up for myself. I think I'm in the right. When you should never, ever have to do this. When you're at school, you're at school. They get holidays, they get excursions, they get sporting events, they fake sickies and they con their mother and they get away with that. You know, they con me. But you know what? Mustering, instead of going to school, do it in the holidays.
Okay, you made a fatal error.
What?
You said yes first.
Yeah, but then I thought about
your mind.
Well, yeah, does the fact that I was drunk when I made the decision, on Good Friday and I was full of rum. You don't ring somebody at 8 o'clock on Good Friday. Simple.
Okay, well, no, that's not.
And now you've been called early
problem.
This morning.
Yeah.
You've been called early this morning to fill in for Marto today, and you're like, hold on, if I'm going to work, your kids are going to school. Yeah. I've changed my mind.
You're
that's
bringing everyone down
yeah.
with
yeah,
you.
I'm probably maybe a sinking ship, yeah.
So you feel that because, do you pay the school fees?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. You do? Yes. Okay, so you feel, but I'm sensing that this isn't just about going to school for 3 days.
Look, I'm being honest here. I reckon the kids get a lot of holidays. Maybe I'm a stickler for it. I reckon the kids get a lot of holidays, and I reckon if you want to have a break in holidays, I'm all for them. They have the charm off. But, mate, when you go to school, you go to school. Mustering ain't going to be, you know.
Okay, but what do you think they're actually going to miss out on this week?
This like week's
school.
A write-off.
They start school. Yeah.
Oh,
school
quick,
starts.
I've just forgotten the letter W.
Yeah.
Well, Robin, like,
2 years seriously. Together.
Well, okay. Well, then just give them, well, why do they go to school then?
I don't know why, and we are the only ones. New South Wales have this week off, and I think that's smarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing I think with you is that you've upset not only your ex-wife because you changed your mind, but you've also upset your children. And they're not speaking to you at the moment, are they? Because
well, they'll come good. I love them.
Well, they're at school now.
Yeah, they're at school, mate. You can't talk when you're at school.
It's an interesting question, though, because there would be other people who potentially they've taken 3 days off work.
Yeah, but would you give your kids off school? Would you, like, honestly, you've just had school holidays. If they haven't had any holidays and this was it, fair enough, because it's 3 days, but school starts back.
You know what? ScoMo would have cleaned up at this election if he'd come out Bob Hawke style. You know when Australia won the America's Cup and it's like, if you make your employees turn up tomorrow, you're terrible. Mm. If ScoMo had come out and said, everyone have a bloody week off, he would 100%.
He'd win the election. Yeah. It's an interesting question though, because I reckon there would be people who've taken their kids out of school because they're on holidays this week, even though school goes back. Marissa of Boronia Heights, what do you reckon?
I reckon that all kids should be at school every day. Every day counts. I teach in a high school, and look, to be honest, if kids miss even a day, they miss vital content and class discussions that you just can't catch up on.
Thank you. That's exactly my thoughts as well. And that's why I put my foot down.
Yeah, look, you know what? It's hard to say, like, different kids can handle an absence, and so long as the parents work with them to catch them up on what they've missed. But generally, it doesn't happen, and you definitely see the kids that have missed time struggle with certain parts of assessment. So having them in the class is much better for them and for them in the long run.
Marissa's right. Every day at school is vital. The amount of times I've applied Pythagoras' theorem around here at Triple M is just, I'm so happy I didn't miss it.
David at Brackenridge, what do you reckon?
No, Robin. I'm a deputy by trade.
Yep.
And I'd be, if I found out that Robin Bailey was holding her kids back from school for a few days for a sneaky short week, I'd be on the phone to you.
Would you? Would you really, though? Like, are you going to hit the books hard with kids these 3 days, considering Anzac Day's on Thursday?
First week of term, Robin, it's your setup week. It's this is super important for kids because they missed out on stuff in that first week, and then suddenly they're actually the ones who are going to feel it because they'll be feeling anxious and so on because all their mates have got that little bit of a head start on them. And it's actually much better for their mental well-being to be at school from the kickoff point of each term.
Right. Primary school as well or just high school?
Both.
Mm. Okay, just checking.
No difference.
I'm just asking.
David, you're a smart man, David. Yeah. That's why you're a deputy principal.
What if you found out that Robin's kids were in fact mustering and learning those life skills? Would that be okay then, David?
It would depend on what they're mustering. And
Sky muster in the sky, the internet, yeah.
Fair call, Dave. Luke of The Gap, what do you reckon? Do you think it's okay for kids to take 3 days off or, like Dobbo, send them to school?
If they're in high school, they need to be in school. Mm-hmm. Ours are our youngest is in year 12,
yep.
And they're starting. You know, it's just too important for them to be there. Next week they'll be full into it. This is their week to get their heads around and start getting their assignments. They get a lot of information in the first week back. So yeah, they need to be there. Their school is actually when we enroll them at Mount St. Michael's in Ashgrove. We're told as parents, the kids are to be there during school, mm-hmm. and holidays are for holidays, and that's it.
Okay, fair call.
Yeah,
thank
I'm with you.
You.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I made the right decision. I feel better about myself now.
No one that we've seen come through has. Is any percentage of people saying that that it's okay to take off?
80% of callers saying that kids should be in school this week. So agreeing with you, Dobbo.
Yeah, well done. I knew I was responsible.
Yeah.
The 20% with Dobbo's kids calling it.
20% with musterers.
Oh, we're going down to Victoria today for some ripping bogan news. Now, it sounds grim, but you've got to hear this till the end. A woman was caught on film allegedly attacking an elderly woman at a Geelong bus stop, has been remanded in custody after telling a court she was acting in self-defence. Now, this 23-year-old woman, Corey Glencross, any guesses on the spelling of Corey?
Corey. Oh, K.
Nine.
I didn't know all those police dogs were bogans. That's a C-O-R-I situation here. Corey Glencross. She's been charged with affray, committing an indictable offence whilst on bail. Great start for bogan news. Unlawful assault. And unlawful assault by kicking. Now, I'm going to be honest. I did legal studies in year nine. I've heard of unlawful assault. I didn't know there was lawful
assault.
Was lawful assault.
That's self-protection.
I thought it was just assault, right? Yeah. Now, this victim, this elderly woman, she was using a walking frame. She was dragged down to the ground, and this woman, Corey, is laid into her. The assault was filmed by a friend of Corey and posted to social media.
Classy.
Right. Just when you need your mate to have your back.
Yeah.
She puts it up there. Here's my mate on bail, booting an old lady.
And is that how the police got onto it?
Well, yeah, they found that. Then they've tracked this girl down. And Corey, good news though, everyone, it wasn't her fault. She said she was provoked by the elderly lady, and she declared her actions were an act of self-defence because she had no intention of kicking the elderly lady, but it was a result of an epileptic fit. When it comes to excuses,
that's as good as
I know
as
mates
is.
Of mine that have epilepsy, a few of them actually, and I've seen them have fits in the past, rarely attacked a nana.
Yeah.
With a walking frame.
I know. Mm. The old epilepsy defence. Did you see the video? Because I've seen the video.
Oh, really? Is it awful?
That old woman was giving her a gobful.
Beforehand?
Yeah.
And so this, and then it's just escalated. Why? What was the incident over? Someone's seat at the bus stop?
I don't know. By the look
it was at a bus stop at a shopping centre. It probably wasn't over negative gearing. No. I'm going to assume that.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.